about this today. And I don't have any set topic today. And I guess the reason I don't is because I just didn't have something from the Lord that I could zero in on today. So I figured I'd do an open format today. You know? But you know something? I was just thinking about this today. I was at the grocery store. And I was at the grocery store and I saw these women working and none of them looked happy. They just all looked like they dreaded it. You know, they were, and I look at the ladies at Old Paths Baptist Church that have husbands that go out and go through the drudge of this world and work and to do things like that. And their wives are very happy ladies. You know? And I look at that and I can tell that it's a real hard thing for them. You know, they act like there's these women that are these, excuse me, they're the upward mobility type women and all these things, and they just dread it. But, you know, they're the upward mobility women, and they want to do that, right? But then there's normal women, and they just don't want to do it. You know, they don't want to do it. It just wears on them. Why? Because God never meant for them to be there. This is why it's fun to have an open format, isn't it? You know, let's look at Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to go all over the board, but let's look at this. Let's talk about why that's the case. You know, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord said, God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, now look at this. Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." See, there were no women, no children born before the fall, and I don't believe that a woman would have went through pain or sorrow with the birth of a child before the fall of man. I don't believe so. But the woman would have managed the home. She would have guided the home and continued to guide the home and do those things, right? But there would have been no sorrow attached to it. But see, there's an extra bit of sorrow because of sin in the world, and there are sinful men. And the reason women have to work today, be it the father, be it the husband, work outside of the home. Right? Is because of man. Fallen man. And because man does not do what he's supposed to do. "I will put enmity," he said, "unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow." And unto Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." In sorrow. So then it's sorrow, man in the workforce. That's not sorrowful, just to work. No. Because of the fall of man and sin, it would be sorrowful. Why? Well, we would die. Because in the end, we work and then we die. That's part of the fall of man. That's part of the curse of man. The work isn't the curse. The sorrow attached to the work is the curse. Right? But now you take a woman and you put her where a man is supposed to be. Then there are multiplied sorrows and multiplied dangers. That's the difference. Multiplied sorrows, multiplied dangers, because she's in a place that she's not supposed to be. God never meant her to be there. Sorrow is attached to it. Partly because she is not able. To be there, so sorrow it. See, God made you for a purpose. God made woman for the man. That's what the scriptures say. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. See, the woman was created for the man. That's why. That's how God created her. That's the purpose he created her for. Right? And when you put a woman in a place that she doesn't belong, sorrow attends that. It's just the way it is. And it will always be that way until the Lord comes back. There are so many things that happens because of the place that a woman is put. Right. See, Jody, God never made a woman to be hard. He never made her to harden up and be one of the boys at work. He never made her for that reason, for that purpose. God never made her for that, but what happens is, because of sin entering into the world and because of the design being wrong, it hardens woman. It makes her hard. And it also, I will tell you this, from experience, what I've watched. Women that have worked in the world, when they come home from that, or they get, let's say they get married and they become a keeper at home, right? When they come home, it is very difficult for them to submit and to surrender to a husband. It is very difficult for them to submit, surrender, and follow a husband. There's strife that enters into that relationship. Because everything about them going to work makes them like a man. And then when they come home, and eventually they do, there's going to be a lot of time that takes for them to learn to surrender and submit to a husband. I'm telling you, it's the longer they're in that place, the harder a woman will get. And the more difficult that it becomes. That's why you don't want your daughters to be in that position. They do become willing to submit to a boss because women become survivors. And they have to survive their surroundings. So they are very capable of surviving under the most strenuous situations. But God never wanted them to be that way. God never wanted them to be in that position. It was not God's will for them to do that. That's why if you want to ruin the sweetness of a lady, send her to work. Send her to work for long periods of time. Because if you send her to the workforce, it's going to harden her. And it takes the sweetness out of her. It takes the femininity out of her. Because she's being made to submit to another man that's not her husband. That's not going to love her like a husband is. It's not going to guide her like a husband is. No, that's the way that it is, unfortunately. And that's why women have such a hard time in submitting and surrendering too. And it's not just there, it's to minister, in the church, pastors have to deal with women that aren't married and deal with women that are, and there's a hardness there. There's a hardness that comes there. You know, it's just God never meant it to be that way. So that's why. So when you see that and you watch that, see, and you know what? Pastors don't talk about this. This isn't a Sunday topic. It's not a Wednesday night topic. It's not going to be a topic. And I guarantee you, a lot of those people, I've had a lot of men leave this church. I've had a lot of men walk away from here, and I have a lot of men that won't come here. And I'm going to tell you why they won't come here. Because I preach this straight to them, and they don't like it. And their wives don't like it a lot of times. But I'm telling you something right now. You talk about revival. And they don't have that. The reason why you don't have, how are you going to have churches that have revival when they don't even know the roles of a husband and wife? Number one, they don't know what the Bible is. Number two, they don't know the roles of a husband and a wife. Right? Well, that's going to mess things up, isn't it? Yeah, how are you going to have revival when people don't even know what a family is anymore? They hear that. Man, that's crazy talk. Yeah, I know. It's, you know why it's crazy? You know why it's crazy? You know why it sounds so crazy? Because pastors won't talk about it. I'll tell you what, some of the biggest huffing and puffing, dragon-breathing pastors out there that breathe fire won't touch this topic with a 10-foot pole. Why? Because it's not good for their image, and women get mad about it. They get upset. And men get upset. Pastors don't preach it because they got their Bible colleges where there's where all the fathers in homes, they're sending all their daughters up to Bible college, up to some dude's Bible college. They're sending all their daughters to Bible college. Right? Yeah. What are they going there for? Well, it makes a lot of money for the pastor or for the college. That's why. Makes them a lot of money. Whole lot of money. So guess what happens? They ain't going to talk about that. But they'll have their scheduled revival meetings. Right? They have their scheduled revival meetings, but they won't talk about any of these things. They won't cover them. Why? Because these, okay, when you preach the Bible and you preach these things, and I mean, you really preach them, right? Ephesians chapter 5. See, I had nothing I was talking. I didn't have anything today. But God knew, because I walked in here and I'm like, I have nothing to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to leave it in open format because I have nothing to say right now. My brain feels like it's ready to explode. I have, or burn down. I have nothing to say. But we open up the King James Bible, and I have all kinds of things to say. Right? Okay. Here we go. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Well, this right here is why I don't believe in, well, maybe not. It doesn't do a whole lot of good anyway, but this is why we don't believe in, this is why we don't waste our time in some things. Anyway, I'll keep moving on. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is why in the church we don't have women vote on anything. Why aren't they members? Yeah, members under their husband or under their fathers. The father doesn't check his authority at the door of the church house. And a man doesn't check his leadership at the door of the church house. Right? Well, What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I'll give you an example. Let me show you. Let me show you something. I got to quit doing that. All right. Hang on 1 second. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Give you a good illustration. And it'll give me a chance to. Brag on. Not on myself, but on others. There it is. That's it right there. That's it right. I'll show you this.
You know, our best days are ahead of us. I believe that. We've seen the miracles of God. We've seen the power of God. We've seen the protection of God. And we've most certainly seen the provision of God. And greater things will the Lord do in the future, I have no doubt. But our best days ahead are days of battle. And we can never forget that. We cannot rest on the last 16 years. It's a foundation that we continue to move off or move from and build upon. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your work. Thank you that you save lost sinners like me and you saved my soul all those years ago. You brought me to repentance and faith in Christ. And Lord, thank you for saving all of these here that are saved by grace. They were lost sinners too, and you saved them. You had mercy and compassion upon them. Lord, help us to have mercy and compassion upon the lost. Help us to reach them for Christ. Help us to preach to them. Help us to live the life that you've called us to live. Before them. God, help us and strengthen our hearts. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us of our unrighteousness. Help us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding. And Lord, may these last 16 years shadow in comparison to the 16 that are to come. May they be years lived out in the service of the King. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the sealing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for this church, the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Amen. Okay, so the reason I showed you that was Emma Pearson put that together. And she took the prayer that I had prayed at the end of that, and she put that together on a video. Well, you know, I asked Brother Paul about that. You know, is it okay if we show that this is a blessing? Is it okay if we put that online and show people that? And he said yes. Well, I didn't just arbitrarily do that, right? I asked him why. It's his daughter. I respect that that's another man's daughter or another man, you know, if it was somebody's wife, another man's wife. And I always talk to them. We'll be putting that on, actually. Andrew's working on that right now. He's going to get that up, and we'll have that out there. So anyway, she did a great job, right? And there's others that have a lot of gifts and talents in our church. And there's a proper way for them to be used, amen? The young ladies and young men that are there, and there's a proper way for them to be able to do that, and we fully intend on doing that. Amen. So anyway, I just want you to understand that you know, we still believe that the husband is ahead of the wife, and the father is ahead of his daughters until he marries them off, and so we respect those things. And so we don't just do it when it's convenient to us. We do it because it's right to do. And So this is an example of what we believe. And God is still, God is going to use these young people for his glory. Amen. There's, oh, we have a lot more. We have a lot more. There's 40 some children there, and God is going to use them to his glory. And we'll see all the wonderful things that God does in their lives in the time to come. But anyway, I wanted you to see that. I want you, and I didn't, again, I didn't plan any of this today. But I wanted you to see that there's others. You know, Aubrey is Ryan's daughter. Aubrey is working on an illustrated track. She's going to draw out that her dad writes up, and Mandy works on poetry and different things that she does. We have young men that are able to do some things. Micah with computer work and different things. So we've got a lot of things coming and children that God's going to raise up to do different things. I have some ideas for story writing and for other things for the children to do, to put good stories online for Christian children to read and put them on our website. I got a lot of ideas. So we'll be talking about all that stuff in the future. God is raising an army here. I talked to them about that last night, and I believe God's going to use them all for his glory. Amen. So, oh, by the way, since we have this open forum here, let me tell you, I talked about this on Friday. We went to pick up a baptistry that was given to us. This is a portable baptistry. They sell for $3,000 to $5,000. And there was a church that gave it to us. They no longer needed it. They were using a different setup, and they gave it to us. So we went and picked it up, and there's a few pieces that we have to get still. Brother Paul volunteered if he has time to go get some of those extra pieces here, because we're going to have three baptisms this week, Lord willing. Amen. We'll do it one way or another. Amen. But we're going to have three baptisms this week. I'll tell you a touching thing. I know I'm right in the middle of this teaching, but God was really moving yesterday with that. And we've got a young man that he's about 20 years old. Good young man. He's Lord's working in his life and heart, and he got saved for. By the way, you might remember him. Angie's son got on here and asked me how to be saved during a live broadcast. Do you remember that? Do you remember that about 3 months ago or so? A couple months ago? Do you guys remember that? When he got on there and he asked me live, I was at the end of a broadcast and I gave a gospel witness right there. Do you remember that? I don't know if you do, but that happened. Well, he's been coming to church for like 2 months. Well, he got saved that day. And, well, he's been coming to church, and he came to me a couple weeks ago, and he's, Pastor, I want to be baptized. And then Lee and Carrie's daughter, Rebecca, we prayed for her to be saved. Man, I've been praying for that little girl to be saved ever since she was a baby. And during the summer, I'd come back from the fair at night. I was with Jacob and Carly, and there was this little fair downtown, and we had just come back, county fair, and we had just come back. And Lee called me, and Rebecca wanted to talk to me, and the Lord was working in her heart, and boy, I'll tell you, that one was that's a long one. Prayed many years for that. And God broke her heart, and she got saved that night. Amen. And then last night, about a year and a half ago, I think, I think it's been longer than that. I think it's been 2 years, come to think about it. I can't remember, though. I think it's been over 2 years. Hannah, you have to remind me of Mercy when she got saved. I know when. I remember it happening. I just don't remember. I think it was either when we first moved in or when we were over in Faribault. Well, my daughter Mercy was saved back then, and she had been praying for a while about wanting to be baptized, and she's 10 and a half years old. And I'm very careful with children. I don't want to be too hard on them and expect too much out of them, because we want them to be saved young. We want them to be baptized, and we want them to live for God their whole lives. We don't want them to run out and live a life of hell like I did. We don't want that. We want them to grow in the Lord. We want them to be saved young. We want them to live for God their whole lives and have and raise their children for the Lord and continue on. That's what we want. We don't want any. I don't want their testimony to be like mine in that sense. I want them to be saved young. Amen. That's my goal as a pastor. It was 2 years ago. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I remember the night she got saved. A little over 2 years ago. That's right, Han. I remember that. I remember the night she got saved. And she was in tears, and God was moving. Listen, we don't push our children like that. We pray for them. They're under the preaching of God's word. We teach them the Bible. They get those memory verses into them. We pray for them to be saved, and we pray with them to be saved, that they would be saved, that God would save them and work on their hearts. But we don't manipulate or do any of those things. We don't do that. And I'll tell you. So last night, she had talked to her mother, I think on Saturday when I was gone. And Hannah had told me, it sounds like to me she understands everything and very clearly. And Hannah's told me some things that she noticed God was working in her heart too as well. Can you believe I don't have anything planned and there's 101 people on here? That is just crazy to me. 102. I don't even know what to say about that. Anyway, so she came to me last night and she said, you know, I want to be baptized. I said, okay, I'll talk to you about that. Let's talk about it. And I asked her a series of questions about salvation. I asked her if she understood that. I asked her if she understood sin and her sin, and she did. She understood her sin. Forgiveness of sin was in Christ. She was able to explain that to me. I mean, hey, remember, it's a simple gospel we preach. It's not complicated. It shouldn't be. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So, I asked her all these questions, and she said to me, she said, I said, okay, well, you know, you can be baptized then. And she was crying, and I was like, well, why are you crying? And she said, because I prayed and I asked God to give me the courage to talk to you about this, because I wanted to be obedient to him and I wanted to be baptized. And then I started crying. And then her mom started crying. And then I'm like, and I'm crying right now. And I said, I was like, you're not supposed to make me cry. It did. It made me, I just kept crying when I was thinking about it. You know why? Because I was like, they get it. They really do get it. And it just brought me to tears. I sat there crying, and I was like, because I kept thinking about that. That this is why we do what we do. This is why we preach. This is why we, we obey the Lord and follow Him as Christians. And this is what our duty is. This is our work. Right? This is the duty that we have. And our children are watching us, and we have a responsibility to them to raise them right and to follow that good gospel order of things. And it's what our duty is before God, right? It's our life. Christ is our life. He's the work of the ministry is why we do what we do. It's for the Lord's honor and glory to see sinners saved and to see their lives not ruined and destroyed. And to beg them at a young age, don't destroy your life. Give your life to the Lord. Let God take your life and use it for His glory. And you'll never. Ah. Ah. You'll never be sorry you did. Never. But you'll be thankful. And you'll be thankful. And God said, to us, preach the word to be faithful. And, somebody asked me one time, why do you, as a pastor, why are you long suffering with stuff? Why do you forbear so many things? And why do you do what you do like that? Why do you do that? And I said to them very plainly, because I mean that person's life is a mess, and that person is doesn't do this and is not doing that and everything else. And I looked at him and I said, because it's a life worth salvaging, that's why. Because that's why Jesus came. Amen. Nope. I don't tell my children to hide their tears. I let them cry. I don't let them scream. And I don't let them lose control, but I do let them cry. They should cry. That's right. You don't want them to go to hell. That's right. Amen. So, anyway, Lord willing, this week we'll have three baptisms this week, and we rejoice in that. Amen. And we thank God for it. And praise the Lord. Amen. You continue to pray for that and ministry and Teresa, that's because you're not really supposed to be in that place. Women aren't meant to deal with people at work like that and deal with the pressures of those things. There's plenty of pressures that they deal with. Listen, I'll explain something to you. Let me explain this to you a little bit. God never made a woman. God never made a woman to He never made a woman to lead and to run a country and run the world and make decisions like that. He never made them to go into politics and be a president, a vice president. He never made him to do that. I will say to you that in that sense, God never built them to do that. They're not capable of it in that sense. But when you put a man in a home, in his home, and try to make him a mom, he's not capable of it. He can't do it. Give me an example. The baby pooped all over the place. The dog's making a mess of everything. This is not running right. This has to be cooked. This needs to be done. All that at once. The man is like, oh, I'm out of here. No way. What in the world is going on? And your wife can look at that and she could say, that's just Monday. Nothing's going on. You could look at that and be like, I can't change that poopy diaper right there. Do this at the same time and get this done right here. Because you weren't made to do it. That's why. You weren't made to do that. When you look at the capabilities of a woman and the amazing capabilities of a woman in her home, there's nothing like it. Nothing. And I can tell you, no, I can't do what my wife can do. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. No, I can't. I absolutely can't do what my wife can do. There is absolutely no shame in me saying that. I'm not a woman. God didn't equip me with that. He also didn't equip me with the patience to be around children all day like a woman is. In that setting. He didn't make me like that. That doesn't make me a bad man or a bad father. It just makes me a man, period. That's it. It just makes me a man, period. That's a man. That's the difference in a man and a woman. He didn't make a, that's why a man, when he comes home, of course he can help and do, you know, when there's needs, whatever. We all chip in and do what we gotta do. My sons, you know, my little boys, my little baby boys. I'll be doing a lot more with them. Why? They're boys. I mean doing, you know, teaching them to be a boy and how to shoot Cheerios in the toilet and stuff. All that kind of stuff. But, right, that's a boy, right? That's the boys. So we'll do more, right? But like that. Like Lucius and I did when he was young. He was a baby. We did all those. Right? But I can't sit at home like that and do all those things like a woman does. It doesn't work. In fact, I can mess things up. Somebody's got to teach him, Carl, right? Somebody's got to teach him. Somebody's got to potty train him. And in this case, it won't be my daughters. It'll be me. Probably his brother, right? His big brother. Right? Somebody's got to teach him. I'm not saying my wife can't teach him. Of course she can. But, you know, he's a boy. He needs his dad. But anyway, those things are just natural things. And, you know, I always tease Ryan because Erica's always got, like, three kids deep. It is totally joking because Ryan is a great father, but I always give him a hard time. His kids will have hey, I got this bike and it doesn't have any brakes. And I look over at Ryan like, Ryan, really? Really, Ryan, no brakes? I have so much fun with Ryan, but he is a great father. Loves his children, loves his wife. He's a great dad. But I always joke with him about it. Anyway, but you know what? It's truth. I mean, we don't have any hips. So I see my daughters can take their little brother and they're like, psh, and they can hold him on their hips. Right? And Erica could do that, right? And Hannah could do that. They're all, they got two kids. They're just like, yeah, I got this. I'm like, I don't have hips like that. It doesn't work. My daughter's like, yeah, I can do this. I think it's funny, right? It's a blast. But anyway, that's the way it works. That's how women are made. That's why they can deal with the things that they do, the way that they do. Right? And that's why Satan knows. Satan knows. What? I'm not lying, am I? You women know exactly what I'm saying, right? It's like Velcro. You could go, whoosh, and you could have like two children walking around like Velcro. Whoosh, and they like stick, and they don't move when you walk. They're just like there. You're like, what? I'm looking over at them like, what in the world is going on with that? And they're like, whoosh. Right? I'm not lying, am I? I'm right, ain't I, Andrea? I'm right. You could do two, can't you? You can. Am I right? Andrea's going to tell. I know she's going to tell me I'm right. They can do two. Whoosh. They're like ninjas. They're like Velcro. And see, like, those moms, they're like the one. You ever see those movies where there's a guy in a helicopter and he's hanging down and he's grabbing the guy to pick him up and to get him into the helicopter and he has to have enough grip to do it? Somehow women, like, if it has to do with a child, they have the grip that they could do it. And they could just, like, yeah, they could pick that child up. But put them in a grocery store hauling stuff around or stocking shelves and doing things like that? Nope, not so much. It's not what they were made for. That's right, Hannah. I'm right. I know. I've watched it. And guys can literally get tired of holding a baby. like 10 minutes. They're like, okay, all right, this kid's heavy. And their mom can literally hold that baby for like, I don't know, like an hour and a half. And I'm looking at him like, what? Right? Like we got like, I got like 10 minutes. All right, I'm tired, man. This kid's fat. Man, this baby's fat. All right, I got 10 minutes and my arm hurts. And that woman's like, two of them walked 4 miles. Stuck to the hips. Boom. We're like, all right, I'm done. Wait, didn't you just go lift that? Like, you just went and chopped like a tree down. Yeah, I know I chopped a tree down. I was over there chopping trees down, lifting big logs, doing all that. Go to the kid. It's like, oh, all right, 5 minutes, I'm done. Right. So, anyway. Why? Because that's how God made him different. I think I'm going to call this broadcast, God Made Men and Women Different. I don't know. It's like all over, but it's so true. I've watched it. My daughters can do it. You know, they can. I watch Ryan's daughters do it. They're like, phew. It's like it's this like ninja stance. Boom. Like what? See the guy, the girl, she's got like, she could keep that interest and be like that. The guy, he's like, nah. Nah. All right. That kid needs to walk. He can't walk. He can't even walk yet. That kid needs to walk, man. He just needs to walk. I don't know what his problem is. What do you mean? He's only 6 months old. Oh, yeah, that's right. Right. But there is a truth about, you know, one thing that's really truthful that women don't like to admit, and it's this right here, is that, okay, here it is. What you don't understand about your husband is when he gets a cold, it is nearest to giving birth that he ever goes through, and you're just not sympathetic to that. Right? You're just not very sympathetic to that. Because when a man gets a cold, he's like laid out. Phew, completely laid out. You're just not very sympathetic to that, right? He's like, man, I'm dying here. Don't you get I'm dying? Nah, you're all right. You just got a cold. You don't even have a fever. You ain't even sick. Woman gave birth like a day ago and she's already back on her feet. It's like, what's going on here? That, my friend, is reality. Don't ask me how I know that. But it's true. Don't ask me how. But it's very true. All right, anyway. So we were in Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. They say women's hands can take hot water more than a man. I think that's true, because I've seen my mom stick her hands in like boiling water to do dishes. I know that's true anyway, because sometimes, because I have this bathtub with jets in it. It's not like a big, you know, hot tub thing. It's just a regular bath, a deep bathtub, right? Came with the house, big deep bath. And my wife can turn that on for me. And if she's not careful, she'll just like scald me. I'm like, what is your deal? It's like, oh, it's not that hot. I stick my leg in. I'm like, ah! So that's true. That might be true. Because I know she could take... But she comes out looking like a boiled lobster, though, because of her skin. I'm like, man, what in the world? So that's true. I think they can take a higher temperature. Probably true. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So you know something, real revival would come is a returning to biblical principles. And if we as Christian people can't get down the simple principles, God's simple commands, right? Hang on one. If we can't get down simple principles, right, of God's commands, how in the world are you ever going to see any type of revival? When there can't even be a clear understanding of what God expects from you. Don't you believe that more people would do right? More of God's people would do right if they knew what was expected of them. Think about it. Would they not do right if they knew what God expected from them? I think a lot of people do things out of ignorance. If you polled average Christians, right? Hang on one second. If you polled average Christians in fundamental Baptist churches, I wonder if you ask them what the role is. I'm not going to mention any names here because I really don't want to hurt people that are already hurting right now. So I'm not going to mention any names. But I see these Baptist women. And they're running around speaking in churches. Now, I guess they're speaking to women, women's meetings and all that. And they're literally running around, and they're not, I mean, they're older, so they're not, you know, they don't, but they're running around preaching. I call it preaching. I'm sorry, but I call it. When they're going to meetings and gathering big crowds of women, if they were just selling books, you know, out there and getting, you know, material out there for people to read, that's one thing. But when we see them come together. Most of these churches have Christian schools. Most of them are never going to cover these biblical roles. And what I've noticed is the not in our church, by the way. We have three ladies right now that are with child. But what I have noticed is that most American couples in churches today are not having babies. Or they have one or two and they think that's enough. God's not in charge of their womb. They are. So the question you have to ask yourself, is God in charge of your womb or are you? By the way, do you think it's interesting that Heritage is 30 times? That number 30 is an interesting. Hang on a second. The number 30 stands for the blood of Christ. 30 is the number of the blood of Christ. Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. After having betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, Judas repented himself and brought the money back. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, is it not lawful for us to put them in the treasury because they are the price of blood? Right? Christ came to redeem men from the law. Let's see. By adding 20 for redemption to 10 for the law, the sum is 30, the price of redemption from the law, which was the blood of Christ. Now add 25 for forgiveness of sins and 5 for grace, and the answer is 30. How about that? The 30th time the name of Noah is found is in Genesis 8:20, where he built an altar unto the Lord and offered every clean beast unto the Lord. It's another connection to the blood of Christ, right? So the 30th time Noah's name is mentioned, there's a picture of the blood of Christ being shed. The number 30 is connected with the life of Christ. Jesus began his public ministry at the age of 30. So did Joseph, by the way. Joseph is a type of Christ. You know what I almost brought you? I almost brought you I almost read A.W. Pink's 100, how Joseph is 100 times the type of Christ. But that would take me more than one broadcast. I'm sure it would take. Boy, is it good. Anyway. But look what the Bible says about a heritage. It says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is God's reward. Any Christian want to stop that? Why would any Christian want to withhold from having children? Right? So why would you want to use birth control? I remembered when my wife and I first got married. And I didn't know any better. But they said, oh, you want, somebody told, they told us, oh, you want to get to know each other first. So I was newly saved. I'm like, okay. So you want to get to know each other first. You don't want children right away. Right? So, for like a year, 6 months to a year, maybe a year, about a year. For like a year, I think she went on ortho-tricycline for like a year. If it was that long, it might have been 6 months. I don't remember. Why? Well, that's what people, I mean, that's what people told us. That's what we were told. Right? So, that's what we did. Well, a few years later, we had children. And I remember somebody coming up to me and telling me and saying to me, said, you're not going to use birth control, are you? You're not going to tell God how many children he's going to bless you with, are you? You're not going to stop the blessings of God, are you? Right? You're not going to stop the blessings of God. And I was like, wow. And I looked at that and I was like, no, I guess not. No one ever told me anything like that. I didn't know that. Nobody taught me that. So fundamentalists, what they teach is that, well, you're supposed to get to know each other before you have babies. That's a lie of the devil. That's very sinful. God said, be fruitful and multiply. So I started preaching on that years later. I started preaching against birth control, right? I'll show you. Birth control and the Bible. Are we really against abortion? I was back in 2015. I preached that. Right? Then Ryan and Erica, when they came to our church, after a year or two of being here, Ryan came to me and said, you know something? My wife had a surgery to prevent from having any more babies. They had three children. And they said, but we want to reverse it. There's a way to reverse it, and we want to repent of it. We want to reverse it, and we want to have children. Right? And I said, okay, sounds good. And they went, had the surgery. It worked. They have a few babies in heaven. But right now, they're on their ninth baby. Number nine. On earth here. Amen. You think about that. But you know what? If I didn't preach on it and God didn't use that, maybe they never would have. If we didn't take the stand that we take on it, Maybe they never would have. How many people out there, how many Christians out there don't ever hear messages like this in their churches? Why? Because their pastors don't want to pry. They don't want to rock the boat. And I told people years ago, I don't want to rock the boat either. I want to tip that whole thing over. I don't need to rock it either. I want to tip that whole thing over. But they don't talk about it. Do you know how many Christians today and how many people today in churches today have the same mindset that Margaret Sanger taught with Planned Parenthood? You realize that? I'm not kidding you. Baptist pastors with birth control pills and everything else, they have the same philosophy and the same mindset as Margaret Sanger. That satanic philosophy has crept in. And they are following it now. And if you don't know what that is, well, I have a treat for you. Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, Witches' War Against God. From April 1st, 2015. Right? Boy, what a time that was. Pornography is mind control, rewiring your brain. Man, look at that. That is unbelievable. That's the pornography series. Wow. Unbelievable. Huh. Anyway, what a year that was back then. Whew. What a whirlwind. But Margaret Sanger is a witch, right? And there you have it. If you want to know more about her, you can listen to that. You can find out if their philosophy is the same. Go listen to that documentary on YouTube that we did also with Ryan and Erica. Right? Because that documentary will tell you their story. Right? It'll tell you the story of what happened with them. I'll look at that back in 2017. Transgender mania. Men having babies. Child chemical castration. Man, I talked about that before it was cool. 2017. Back in the day. So, but the Bible says that children are a heritage, but the devil tells you they're not. They're a burden. They're a burden unto you. You know, I picked up a Thomas the Tank Engine, this jump thing for Gideon for his birthday back in January. And it's really cool. It goes on this track. It has this little, it's battery operated. And it goes whoop. And then it jumps and it lands in a tunnel and it goes straight around again all the way back up and around. All the way, boy, it's really cool. Anyway, I've had a lot of fun with it. I mean, so is he, but I had a lot of fun with it too. Anyway, But we were at that house, and I got that for like $40 or something. And they gave me another. Actually, that was free. $40 was for all the other stuff. They gave me the jump set free. I couldn't believe it. It's like $400 worth of stuff that I got for $40. Right? But when I went there, they were telling me about, oh yeah, my son's out of that phase, and you know, tells his 13-year-old daughter, well, you're probably closer to having kids than I am. I'm like, what in the world did that mean? And he wasn't being perverted. He was just saying they're done. I mean, she's like, yeah, if they weren't so expensive, I'd have more. Like they're a motorcycle. Like, you know, I'd have a Harley if they weren't so expensive. Yeah, I'd get a second Harley if they weren't so much money. Right? I'd have another kid if they weren't so expensive. They're a lot of work. And then I find out from this couple what they're doing. And I'm their age, but I'm on an infant. We have an infant. Actually, no, I'm older than them. They're younger than me by about 5 years. And they're done. They've been done for 7-8 years. By choice. And they're talking to me, and I'm like, well, I mean, I've got 8 children. I was like, we just had a baby. We got a little infant. And they're just like, whoa. Like, oh, yeah, I wish I could do that. But, yeah, you know what they do? They travel around with sports with them like crazy. Hockey games, football games, soccer games, gymnastics. Like 100 things, right? And they're just traveling around. They're traveling around with them. Right? And that's why they're expensive in that sense, the way they're looking at it. Well, you do things that are like ridiculous. You're spending thousands of dollars that you don't have to. You're spending thousands of dollars that you don't have to spend. And then you wonder why. Right? You wonder why. You wonder why it's like that, right? You wonder why, right? They're breaking themselves. They run those children are their oppressors and women rule over them. How? Because they don't follow God's order. The children run them. They don't run their children. They don't lead their children. They don't guide their children. Right? They don't guide, they don't lead them. So then what happens? They're exasperated. They're exhausted. They're wore out. Why? Because their children are running them everywhere. Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? Right? And that's the world. That's what they think. That's what they think raising children is. That's what they think it is. That's not what raising children is. Oh, they're expensive. What? Well, you think you have to do it? How are, somebody asked me, my sister asked me, how are they all going to go to college? They're not. What in the world would I want my daughters to go to college for? Why would I want them to go to that hellhole? Let me say that to you again. Let me put me in. Why would I ever want my daughters to go to that hellhole? Whore, sex pit, rotten, nasty, vile, disgusting, filthy place. Why would I ever want them to do that? Thank you. There. Whoa. What a spaz. Yeah, you think? Where they gain the freshman 40 pounds from drinking booze and whoring around? Really? And preacher, you're kind of mean. I know. Just mean and nasty. Yep. You bet I am. Because I know what I was like. I know what I was like as a man. I know what I was like. And by the way, I don't think Bible college, it's just a little bit better. They'll have a little bit more parameters. But if you want to do evil, they'll do evil. That's true in my own house. If they want to do evil, they'll find a way to do it. But the point is that that's a bad place to be. Right? Why would I want them to go there? Why would I ever want my daughters to go there? Why would I ever want them to be around that? Especially secular college. I mean, they're all bad enough, to be honest with you, but secular college. Why would I ever want him to be around there? Why would I ever want him to see that? Not at all. So my sister asked me that, like, how are they all going to go to college? Oh, they're not. Why would they? Are you going to pay for all their education? Well, they can be educated without a college. Right? They can be educated without going to college. I've never been to college and I'm educated. Right? I would say that I'm educated better than the average college graduate from Baptist Bible colleges. That's what I would say. Like I'm not trying to brag or be proud. Because number one, I actually believe the Bible. Whoa! If you actually believe the Bible, well, that makes you better educated than most of them. And then I actually understand some forms of history, like real history, too. Right? And I don't believe what some jackboot thug from the government tells me, and like a lapdog, I lick it up. What are you talking about? Like we went to the moon, like that. Ah, like we went to the moon. Hey, we went to the moon, man. Sure we did. Sure we did, bro. Good story. Sure you did. Was it with that bag of trinkets that they found in Armstrong's closet? You went to the moon with that? Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's funny. That little bag of trinkets. Hey, I went to the moon with this bag of trinkets. Yeah, see this little tube? Looks like something you smoke pot with. What do you do? You didn't go to the moon with that. Hey, this bag of trinkets has been on the moon. I'm for real here. Stop making fun of me. Oh, I just lost 10 people. They got mad at me. That's okay. That's all right. I just threw that one in there for free. You don't have to get that mad. Come on, people. I can't help it. Anyway, all right, we'll move on. Right. They're right. Looks like something they smoke crack with. That's right. Anyway, but why would they need it? Why would they need to go there? If you had 10 children, let's say they were all boys. Do you know right now that 10 children, that they are begging for young men, and they're giving trade school away for free to get young men in the trades? They're begging for them to get in the trades. And they'll pay them really good money to get in the trades. Right? Why? Because they need young men to work. And then they go to trade school and they get it free. Right? All over the place. All over the place. They need them all over the world. Believe me. They're begging for men. Jobs that'll pay you $50 an hour eventually. $40, $50 an hour or more. Single guys on a pipeline in Alaska, they'll pay them $150 an hour to get them working. I mean, it's everywhere. Why? Because they need men. And you don't have to pay for school, they'll pay you. And you don't have to go to the military and kill brown people either. You could actually go help people. So they don't indoctrinate you like, I'm proud to be an American. Where at least I know I'm free. I'm about to kill some brown people who gave that right. No, I'm just kidding. But you don't have to do that either. You big jerk face. That wasn't necessary at all. I know. All right. I gotta quit. Oh, stop it. All right. See what I mean? Baby. He goes, something is really wrong with you. Oh. He's like, something is really wrong with you, man. Oh, all right. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. I'm done. I'll quit. Oh. They'll literally pay you to go to school. They'll pay for your education so you can go out and make $50 an hour somewhere or more. You know, it's just, I'm saying that to you because I don't want you to fall for the foolish nonsense and traps that are there. Oh, I know I dropped 10 more people. I got to stop doing that. Hey, I will come see you, Fabian, and you can buy me some, you can buy us some good food. Dinner is on you, Fabian. It's on you.
Damon, the food is on you, Damon. I'm bringing 12 people with me, Damon. You're going to be broke, Damon. You're paying for the food, Damon.
Anyway. Just kidding, Damon. I won't do that to you. Anyway, but I care about you. I don't want people to take advantage of you out there. You don't have to have that. That's why I'm teaching our young men in this church, go to trade school. Right? Go to trade school. Go make some money there. My son's looking at some well digging things because there's jobs. You know, there's a job that he's looking at right now. Just learning to dig wells and to do well work. And he's interested in that work. He's interested in kind of in plumbing and well work and all that kind of stuff. So he's going to look at it. No. So, but see, people's mindset of children, their mindset of husband and wife, their mind, it's not biblical. So most of the churches today they don't have a biblical mindset. That's why we've allowed society to push the church towards the world and to change what they believe and to slowly change our practice. And I'm saying what needs to happen today is a radical change. Not radical elephants, but a radical biblical change back to the Bible. Where men were men and women are women. Where children are children in subjection to their parents. Where daughters are raised for the glory of God. And given away at the altar pure to a God-fearing man that loves them. where our sons rise up and take care of their responsibilities, get called into the ministry, work and serve the Lord, or preach and pastor, whatever God leads, right? That's God's way. That's God's plan. That's what God wants to do. That's his work. I'm telling you. If God's people return to this, they'll see the blessings of the Lord. If we could get pastors to see this very thing and to return to a biblical mindset, their churches will see revival. You'll see them grow. You'll see them grow. It says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. He shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Remember what the Bible says about the gates of hell should not prevail against him? You get this right with God, and people start having babies again. Husbands and wives, God-fearing husbands and wives start doing what they're supposed to do, have the roles down, make the sacrifices necessary. Right? Right? Then what do you see? The power of God. Why? Because you're honoring God. You know, our church, it's not a big church. But our outreach has definitely went all over the world. Last year, I visited people that our church influenced in Scotland, Ireland, England, right? This year we're going to Canada. But there are literally thousands. There, last month there was 14,000 downloads of sermons on sermon audio. That's just sermon audio. That's sermons that are downloaded. That means they're listened to, for the most part. And some of the number one sermons that people listen to are on the home, the family, the husband, the wife, raising godly children, all of those. Why? Because there's a starving for it out there. People are starving for it. And God uses families to build churches, strong biblical families. But I believe by God's grace and his glory that the reason he blessed so much is because we honored him. We've tried to do things God's way. We tried to do it God's way and to honor God by what we do, and God has blessed it greatly. And one of those things is preparing people, showing them what God expects from a husband and wife. Showing God how God wants us to raise our children. increasing and equipping, encouraging and preparing people that, you know what, you're not weird because you want to live for God. There's not something wrong for you because you hate this world. There's not something wrong with you because you hate this world and its system, and you hate the pagan heathenistic teachings that there's nothing wrong with you because you want to have children, husbands and wives. You want a wife wants to submit to her husband. There's nothing wrong. I get notes and letters all the time from people. And they're like, Pastor, thank you for preaching on these things without compromise and helping us and teaching us the truth about these things. Because they're in churches, but they're not being taught. They're not being taught what God expects from them. They're not being strengthened. And in the local church, the difference, you get to hear it online and it's a blessing to you, but the difference here in the local church is that iron sharpens iron and we are together and God tempers us as a body together at Old Paths Baptist Church and we are challenged. Right? Challenged to walk with the Lord, to live for Christ, to serve Him. Jody, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you about that. That God would give you a husband. Godly man to take care of you. Ben. So, God can do it, amen? All right, let's see. Let's play. Maybe you have a comment, something you want to say. Let's see. While we play.
Rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake, He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens His children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging or food I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake, He knows at the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold.
Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you what, this sure turned out a lot better than than the way my brains were going when I started. But that's what God does when you serve the Lord. Amen. And when you don't think about yourself and you think about others, try to be a blessing to other people. That's what we're here for, is to be a blessing to others. You know, that's what God is raised us up to do, is to serve other people. All of us are there to serve others. Our life to be given for them. All right, everybody. Well, God bless you. I'm going to get out of here. I've got to go make some pizza. And I got a great deal on this pizza oven. And it's a propane pizza oven. We make a lot of pizza, so we got this propane pizza oven, and it heats up to like 900 degrees, and it's best to cook that on like 700, 800, 900 to cook it really hot, because it cooks better when you do that, right? Well, anyway, so I'm going to try it tonight and see how we do with it. So anyway, then you pray for us and pray the Lord would bless us. And guide our steps. If you would like to pray for us, number one, and pray for our ministry. Number two, if you'd like to pray or if you'd like to give to our ministry, here's how. You can mail us something to 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Or you can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, and you click on our sermon audio page there, and you can click on the donate button or the give button. It's right there. That'll take you to PayPal. Or you can go to oldpazbaptistchurch.org and pazbaptistchurch.org. Have here on donate. You can do Apple Pay, Venmo, and Cash App. Okay? Anyway, either way. And if you can't give anything at all, pray for us that God would touch somebody else's heart to give. All right? And don't worry about anything, because I'm not worried about. God takes care of us, just like He takes care of us. So you're our friend no matter what. We're not worried about that, okay? But we give that option because people do ask. Do ask sometimes, how can I get? Tell them. So, all right. On all the hood transactions. I don't know what. Oh, is that like Cash App and all that? Is that the hood? Oh, that's good cover on that. Built a little bit of water on that. It's got a cover on it, so it's good. All right. Anyway. I bought that for $80. It's $223 for that pizza oven. Somebody had one brand new in a box for $80. So I'm like, I'll take it. Amen. All right, everybody. God bless you. Take care. See you on Wednesday, Lord willing.